Thank you. Well, it's a blessing to be here with you this morning. I take it as an honor and a privilege to be able to share from God's Word with you today. Like Brother Jason said, I lead worship at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I've been there for several years in that position, and it's a blessing to be here today to preach with you. I'm friends with Evangelist Justin Smith, and he reached out to your deacons and let them know I'd be able to help out with some of the pulpit supply. So I'm glad to be able to be here. My wife, Drew Ann, is over here. She's with me this morning. We have five of our kids with us as well. One of our sons is at home. He has a wheelchair in our handicap accessible van this morning, decided not to start. So we'll have to handle that this week. But he's at home with my mom, and she's keeping an eye on him. But we have six children at home with us. We have one daughter in heaven. God chose to grow our family through foster care, and we've been foster parents for about 10 years. And I believe that chapter of our life is coming to an end, where we'll be probably closing our foster license soon. But God has grown our family greatly through that ministry, and we're very thankful for the kids that we have been able to have in our home. But like I said, it's a blessing to be able to be here with you this morning, and I'm excited to see what God's Word has for us. If you have your Bible, we'll be in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 41 through 52. But before we get into that, have you ever forgot something important? Have you ever went somewhere and maybe you left your wallet, left your cell phone? Have you ever left a child somewhere? Well, you're in good company if that's you, because we're going to look at a passage this morning where Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. They lost their 12-year-old son, and for a short period of time did not know where he was. So if you ever forgot something very important, you're in good company, because we see this passage of Scripture where that happens as well. We're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. So if you have your Bible, you can read along or just listen as I read Luke 2, verses 41 through 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. I titled this message, I Think We Left Jesus Behind. I think as believers, we may all have been in a situation where we have put other things in front of our Savior and made some maybe honest mistakes, but we have forgot our Savior. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the truth in Scripture. Lord, we just thank you for this time we can look into your word. Lord, give me strength and wisdom as your word is preached, and let everyone here have their hearts and minds open to your word. Lord, if there's someone here who's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, they will make that decision today. In Jesus' name, amen. Often we're too forgetful as people. We get so wrapped up in our plans. We get wrapped up in what's going on that we forget the most important thing. Or we may, even worse, assume someone else will take care of it. I remember growing up, my grandpa would tell me this story. That he took my oldest uncle, Jeff, to the hardware store. And he got what he needed to get, and he went home. And my grandma said, Where's Jeffrey at? And my grandpa realized he had left my uncle at the hardware store. He quickly turned around and went there, and my uncle was just continually looking at the tools, didn't notice that he had been left behind. And my grandpa got him, went home, and all is well. But often we're in a similar situation to that, where we get wrapped up in what's going on in life. And I think we've all been there before. Today we're going to look at the time Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. A few months ago, we celebrated the birth of Christ at Christmas. the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was a special time to remember the incarnation of God. The Almighty God became flesh to live among us, to live a perfect life, so he could be the sacrifice for our sins. And we sang some wonderful songs this morning that pointed to the truth of Scripture and the truth that we need our Savior and that Jesus did pay it all. But when we see what we see in Scripture, we see many aspects of Christ's birth, and then we don't see much about him until he is until he's about 30 years old in his ministry. But what happened between Christ's birth and earthly ministry? We simply do not know much. We can make assumptions of his early life, but in Luke chapter 2, we do see this one account that tells a very interesting story about the young Jesus. And I believe there is much that we can learn as disciples of Jesus about what our lives following him should look like by seeing Christ as a boy. We looked at Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 52, and that is the only account of Jesus in his early years. But we're just going to look through this passage and see what God's word has to say about it. We see early on in verse 41 that Jesus had godly parents, God-loving parents. We see that Jesus had parents who were devoted to the God of the Bible. They were good, committed Jewish parents who raised their children following the call of Deuteronomy 6 to train their children in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. This has meant they were keeping the traditions and the customs of the time. It was very common for Jewish people to do this. Jewish men were required to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. It required a pilgrimage to come from your home to the holy city and temple in Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph recognized that importance and the importance of observing the commands and celebrations of the God of the Bible. So they participated in that every year. And this is where we find Jesus when he was 12 years old. He joined his mother and Joseph for this Passover feast. In that time, young boys were known as sons of the covenant, and at the age of 13, that's when they would be looked at as a man. So Jesus was in that middle stage where he was not yet looked at as a man, but he was starting to get out of the childish age with some of the younger kids, and it was usual for the older boys to come to the temple, especially during the feast or festival time, or a time or two before they were 13, so they could understand some of the things that would be going on and the covenant they would be entering into. And as Jesus would soon be considered a man in this custom, Jesus' parents were intentional about including him in these times of worship. Jesus' family was all in about following those customs and traditions in the law of God. We see in Scripture it wasn't unusual for people to come a day or two for the Passover festivities, but we see here that Jesus' family stayed the whole week and didn't leave until after the Passover ended, and they were savoring that time together. I think it's important as believers that we make those decisions of family to come together and to hear God's word, to fellowship with believers, and we see that example in Jesus' early life. But Mary and Joseph, they took that faith seriously. They faithfully followed God's word to the best of their ability, and we see how God would bless them. But how faithful are we at following the commands God has given us? Now, there are some different things going on. We're New Testament believers. I'm thankful we don't have to make these type of pilgrimages that in the Old Testament they made. But God still has desires and commands for each and every one of us to follow as well. Thankfully, like I said, we're not held to Old Testament law, which that's great. But we see throughout Scripture that God desires things of us as well. Hebrews 11:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." You know, it's important to fellowship with believers in church. There are times when you won't be able to be at a service, and God understands those things, I believe. Health, scheduling, things like that. But it needs to be an important decision to faithfully be a part of a local church, to be able to fellowship with believers. There's this lie in today's mentality that Christians don't need to be a part of a church, that Christians can just do it on their own. They can just continue on serving alone and not fellowshipping. The fellowship of the local church is one of the greatest blessings God gives to believers. The encouragement we can get from each other, the challenge we can get from each other, it is such a blessing to be able to have, and God desires for us to not take that for granted. A very popular topic, tithing. You know, God desires for us to give. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "God loveth a cheerful giver." Witnessing, God desires for us to witness. This morning, I talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class. But Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God desires for us to be a witness. I have a brother who's a missionary in the Solomon Islands. He is about as far away as you can get. And thankfully, because of modern technology, I can call him pretty easily. But I'll talk to him. And he was recently in the States. So they had a new baby. And I asked how the boys were doing. And he said, they're just loving bath time. Okay. He goes, well, we don't have hot water on the island. And it just, things you take for granted that, you know, I appreciate in the United States I have hot water available. And I'm thankful that God has not called me to a foreign field to be a missionary, but he called my little brother there. But you know what? We should be supporting missionaries. We should be supporting people giving the gospel out. And, you know, maybe you can't go to a foreign country, but you can go down the street. You can go to a neighbor. You can go to a family member. You can go to a coworker. God desires for you to be sharing the goodness of salvation. We see godly living. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God wants us to have a testimony, a Christian testimony. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, your reputation. People should be able to see that you have this testimony of Christ, not to bring honor to yourself, but to bring honor to our Savior. And we see separation. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In these first few verses that we read, we saw Mary and Joseph were being the example of godly people in this time. And they were not perfect people, but people that were dedicated to serving God. Our circumstances today are maybe different, but we... can we say that we have that same type of dedication to the commands that God gives us as believers? We don't have the Old Testament law to hold to like the Jews did at this time, but we have God's word that has commands for each and every one of us. And are we taking those truths to heart? Are we living them out, or are we just simply taking this book and putting it on a shelf and picking it up once a week on our way to church on Sunday? It needs to be what we live by. But so often we come to church, we hear the saying, you polish your halo, and you can come and sit in your spot. But that's not the desire God has for us. He wants our Christian walk to be an active walk, and our Christian testimony to be something we're continually striving for. But we see, even though Jesus had good earthly parents, they still lost Jesus. They still misplaced him. We see, as we continue in Scripture, that Jesus was lost. Now, of course, Jesus' parents were great spiritual leaders. They had heard angels. They knew the miracle of the virgin birth. They had respected the prophets of the temple to proclaim blessings on Jesus when he was dedicated to the temple. Yes, Jesus had devoted parents, but we see he didn't have perfect parents. In those times, it was very common for large family groups to make this pilgrimage together. It was very, very common for groups of people. And in those times, the women and children would be at the front of the group, and the men would be at the back of the group. That was the custom. And as a 12-year-old, Jesus could easily be considered, he could either be considered with the women and the children, or it's very understandable they would think that he's probably with his father, with Joseph and the men, just because he was at that age. So Mary thought one thing, Joseph thought another. They could think he was with the other parent. And on the 3-day journey from Jerusalem to Nazareth, the first day has ended, and they start to look around and realize they have traveled a significant distance without Jesus. What were they thinking and feeling? You have to try to imagine Mary and Joseph, who have been tasked with raising the divine Son of God, the Savior and King of God's people, and they don't know where he's at. They have lost him. Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus was missing, and they went into action. They went looking for him. They started searching through the community that they were traveling with. It was common for the kids to be with different people of these family groups, and when they were traveling together, their response was not, "Well, I'm sure Jesus can take care of himself. He'll show up eventually." That was not their response. They didn't say, "Oh, we'll just get him next time we're there," but they went into action. They didn't just have that attitude of their relationship with Christ as we'll just see him at the next festival. Unfortunately, there's many believers that I believe are truly saved, but they only come church, Christmas, Easter, funerals, weddings, and that's a shame. But this was not the type of relationship obviously Mary and Joseph had with Jesus. When they realized he was nowhere among the group, they went back to where they last saw him, and that was in Jerusalem. They had already been a day of traveling. So if you do the math, now they had to do a day traveling back. And then they went to where they last saw him in Jerusalem, and it took them about a day to find him when they got there. At that time, Jerusalem was about 70 to 80,000 people, and they didn't automatically assume he was at the temple. It took them about 3 days before they got back to Jesus. But when they found Jesus, they found him in the temple. Where is Jesus? He was not wandering the streets. He was not scared, wondering where Mary and Joseph were. He was in the temple with the teachers. In this temple where Jesus would teach, where Jesus would chase out money changers, here is Jesus, not yet the teacher, calmly sitting under the teaching of imperfect men. We see Jesus listening. Jesus asked questions. Jesus giving answers. His answers were illuminating, showing his great insight into the discussion. They also showed characteristics of Jesus. In an exclusive group, Jesus at 12 years old stood out, and all were amazed. But Mary and Joseph, they found him at the temple. When Mary and Joseph arrived at the temple, they were relieved. Mary, however, still a mother, who had just found her missing child, acting as though nothing was the matter. Verse 48 tells of her emotions. We read verse 48, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Rather than remembering and resting in the promises of God, Mary had a real fear and lack of security. Now, I think there are times that we ask Jesus, "Do you know what you're putting me through?" Mary asked, "Why would you deal with us this way?" You know, she was asking Jesus, why did you put us through this? I think a lot of times in our Christian walk, we fall into that same scenario where a trial happens, something falls into our lives that we're not expecting, and we are just shocked. Like, God, why did you let this happen to us? In the passage here, Jesus said, "Of course I'm about my Father's work." The same for us today. When that trial comes into your life, when that difficulty happens, it's not that Jesus wasn't paying attention to our life. It's not that God's hand of protection was not on us, but God has a plan, and he's doing something through that. We see Jesus, his true Father. When Mary and Joseph arrived at the temple, they were relieved. But we remember that Jesus says he's about his Father's business. You know, if you ask us, you know, often we in those moments we believe that we have forgotten the promises of God. We forgot that God, who began a great work in us, will complete it, and he works out all things for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Often we need to be reminded of the truth of who Jesus is and reacquainted with Jesus, who he is, fully man and fully God. Mary had become so familiar with Jesus, maybe she had stopped being amazed by the miracle of Jesus. And I think we can all fall in that situation as well. Our Christian walk can become too casual. It is something we just do. It is something we just get wrapped up in, and it becomes like any other pastime or hobby. It's just something we do, and that's a dangerous place to be as a Christian. I think all of us, if you're a believer, have trusted Christ, have experienced radical transformation in our lives by following Christ. You know, and if you haven't experienced any transformation in your life from following Christ, you need to be applying God's word. Many times, you know, we get wrapped up in just staying the way we are. But that's not God's desire for us. As we walk as a Christian, we should be growing to be more and more like Christ, dying to self. But there should be a transformation in our lives. God began to do a great work in our lives through Christ, but his disciples following Jesus for long periods of time, if we're not careful, that marvel can diminish. 12-year-old Jesus, when met by the fear and anxiety of his parents, reminds them of the fundamental truth of who he is, who his true Father is, and what he must do. Jesus seemed surprised that they didn't know where he was. You know, where else would he be? Verse 49 that I read before, these are Jesus' first recorded words. When he said he must be about his Father's business. Jesus is always doing what must be done. He's always doing what must be done. None of his choices were simply, "That seems like a good idea. I'm just going to go for that." But things that must be done. Jesus' response is a significant truth of the gospel. Jesus is first and foremost the Son of God. Jesus has a primary allegiance that overrides all others. It is his Father. The way he says this is unique and distinct from other Jews of the time who would have said our Father or in heaven. Jesus here is asserting his divinity. God the Father has sent him for a specific mission. Luke will later say Jesus must preach because he was sent for a purpose. Jesus will tell his disciples he must suffer, be rejected by the elders, priests, scribe, likely some of the same men who were amazed by him at 12, will crucify him when he's 33, specifically because Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, that he must fulfill the law and prophecies that Jesus was discussing with these leaders. Finally, after his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he must suffer, die, and enter glory. You know, Jesus must for us, because we can't for him. But we see, even Jesus, after he asserted his divinity, he had said he's about his Father's business. We see in verses 51 through 52, his humble obedience to his earthly parents. He humbly followed and honored his parents. In verse 51, he went down with them to Nazareth and subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In light of the truth, Jesus' full divinity, the true Son of God, what happens next is remarkable. You know, he doesn't say to his parents, I'm on a mission now. I'm gonna rule from this temple. Or even, it's time for me to reveal who I am and die for the sins of the world. He simply doesn't lord over his parents, and he goes with them and honors them. He goes down and not only leaves a great and grand place for a humble and undesirable place of Nazareth, but he does so and walks a life of perfect obedience, even submitting to broken, imperfect sinners. At that time, it should be this way as well, but honoring your father and mother was one of the most revered commandments in the law, and Jesus is going to fulfill it perfectly, even with imperfect parents. We have a perfect Father in heaven, and because of Jesus' obedience in our place, we can have the freedom to obey and honor our Heavenly Father. Jesus was on a mission for the world, obeys and submits to imperfect sinners, so imperfect sinners can obey and submit to him as we live missions for him. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, in this passage, we see Jesus, a boy, on the cusp of manhood. He was a student of God's word with a desire to learn and teach. Mary and Joseph were distracted with the priorities of getting home and back to regular life. Mary and Joseph were not doing anything sinful. They were not doing anything wrong. But if we look at our own lives, sometimes we can be so focused on the daily things we have to do, the normal activities of life, job, kids, life, everything going on, that it's very easy for us to take our focus off of Jesus. Often, good things can become a distraction, and that's where we need to be careful. Mary and Joseph were distracted by the priorities of regular life. Have we left Jesus behind because our priorities are getting in the way? You know, God's priorities are what count. As we grow as believers, we should desire for our priorities to line up with what God has for us. You know, I believe Scripture teaches us once you are saved, you are always saved, and you're not going to lose that salvation. But we can hurt that fellowship we have with God. We can separate ourselves from God, and we don't have that close fellowship. I don't know who said this quote, but it says, no matter how far you have walked away from God, the return trip is only one step. And praise the Lord for that truth. Regardless of what you have put in your life that has separated you from God, distractions, things that maybe aren't necessarily wrong, but have put though become a stumbling block, when you decide to push those things aside and get right with God, He is right there waiting with open arms to have that fellowship with us. So where are you at? You know, have you pushed Jesus behind in your life, focusing on other things? You know, I encourage you to find Him as quickly as you can and to put in place things that will ensure that your priorities always remain the same as His. You know, if you do this, you will never be in the unbelievable position of having left Jesus behind. You know, we look at this passage, and it's a wonderful account in Scripture of Mary and Joseph and a young Jesus. It is different from all the other passages about Christ. It is simple in parts and deeper in others, but we see a family, and we're all a part of a family in one fashion or another. We all have things going on, and we all made it a priority to be here today. But sometimes, even in those good priorities, it's so easy to get distracted on exactly what we're doing and realize this should all be about Christ. So maybe you're here today, and you can't leave Jesus behind because you're here. You never found Him in the first place. The Bible is so clear that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, if you've never made a decision to come to Him, the Bible doesn't tell us that we have to get our lives right first. The Bible doesn't tell us you have to get baptized first. You don't have to be a member of a church first. But you simply come, and like the song says, Jesus paid it all. We just have to receive that free gift of salvation. So if you're here today, you've never done that, I encourage you that today. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised this afternoon. We don't know when our time on this earth is over. So if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to do that today. But if you are here today, and you're a believer, and maybe you've not gotten wrapped up in things that are outwardly sinful, but you've just got wrapped up in life, and you have just neglected your Savior, you know, that trip back to Him is just one step. He is there waiting to fellowship with us. You know, take that time to look into God's Word and into Scripture and have that private time of study with Him. Take the time to pray. God desires to hear from us. God wants to have that closeness with us. And we see the example of Mary and Joseph, and it's the example of Christ and His humble obedience. And we too should have that humble obedience to our Heavenly Father. So if you're here today, I encourage you not to leave without putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And if you're here and you haven't been living with a focus on Christ, do that today.